The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I've got Dr. Mike McFarland, PhD, in studio with me. I love this guy. He's a smart one.
Thanks for having me.
You know what? I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What did you do your dissertation on?
Dissertation was developing a measure of assessing male body image dissatisfaction by body part.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, so that's what you specialize in, the treatment of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, and male body image and eating disorders. So
right.
I love picking your brain. And so we just found out Dr. Dieter's not going to be on the show. He got married and forgot to tell everyone.
And congratulations to him.
Congratulations. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many people in the world right now suffering. Did you guys read in the news what happened in St. Martin's?
No, I didn't read it.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up, but it's
all right.
You should Google it because it's pretty scary. And it was, for me, it brought back memories of when you and I, just a couple of weeks ago, Lexi, were looking for gas and all the mayhem and the horrible behavior that we saw just with something as simple as a gas shortage.
Yep.
I can't even say on the air some of the stuff that we that was said to us and how people were acting at a gas station here in Dallas, Texas.
It kind of brings out the survival instinct in people, and sometimes that's not always a pretty picture.
Yeah, I mean, there's complete that they're saying that there's complete a civil war's ready to break out. The French aren't doing as much as they would like. And the Dutch on the other side of the island, St. Martin's, is that it? You're St. Martin and St. Martin's? I don't know.
I've never been into that.
Yeah. I've never been south of the border. Never. So I've been to the border, but I've never been south of the border. Not to South America either. So, And I've never been to the Keys or any of that.
Caribbean or anything like that?
No. I've been too busy working. And
I've never been to the Caribbean islands, but I've been to the Keys.
Yeah.
I've been to Florida Keys a couple times.
Well, my sister was supposed to go to the Keys in like 2 weeks. And she's like, well, mm-hmm. I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, and I traveled a lot when I was your age, or a little bit younger. Actually, I started traveling when I was 17. And so I saw a lot of Europe. I saw a lot of the country at a very early age, and then just, dug in and, started going to school and working hard. And, I go on my little trips here and there, but, mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Europe. I actually got invited to go to an amazing trip to Paris, Fashion Week.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
For 5 days and stay in one of the top designers' homes. But I'm not going. I can't.
You're not going.
I'm not going.
That's an opportunity.
My anxiety is too high to leave town. So, doctor, maybe you can help me.
Doctor,
give me the news. Okay. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I think so many people suffer with anxiety.
There's no doubt about it.
Well, and I couldn't commit either because my friend that was very sick, we weren't sure what was going to happen. And she passed away about a week ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It is. It's life-changing. I actually put a Facebook post. I saw an article about how hard it is to lose people, and they expect you to go through the grieving process. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if it's a very significant person in your life, you never forget them. You can go through the grieving process and well, you tell me. You're the shrink here. I just feel like some people just, you never get over the loss, not completely.
Well, it's very hard. That's right. It's very hard to deal with the loss of anyone that's important in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the process that we go through, although some people think that there's these set stages and you go through and then you're done, actually, research shows that that's not the case, and that many times when you think you've worked through your grief, you come back. And so maybe, you know, the anger that oftentimes people experience, they will work through that and then they'll find that they're angry again. And mm-hmm. so oftentimes it can take months. And for some people, it takes years
yeah.
to really go through that grieving process.
Right. And you can't, you if you're not walking in that other person's shoes that's encountered the loss, you really don't get a right to judge them.
That is so true.
You really don't.
And in our fast-paced society, oftentimes...
Get over it.
That's
get
it.
Over it. Just get
that's
over it.
It.
No, yeah. you know what? Some things that people say and do hurt for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's why one of the four agreements is be impeccable with your word. Because words hurt. They
yes.
hurt and they can do a lot of damage.
They certainly can. Yes.
And people just throw words around without even thinking about it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I guess we're human. Is that something that all humans do?
Well, we all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us do that intentionally with our words,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we all make mistakes and we say things unwittingly that might hurt someone. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some people are sensitive to particular topics and we can't always know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's incumbent on the person who is offended to be able to work through that, to
mm-hmm.
be able to accept the things that they've heard, move beyond those and not have those things impact them for the rest of their lives.
Well, let me ask you this. When someone's drunk or whatever, enhanced,
uh-huh.
does the truth really come out? Is that their true personality when they let that, when the alcohol takes away that shield?
Well, alcohol is a disinhibitor, so there's some amount of, you know, the idea that it's a little bit of a truth serum. That can be true, but
mm-hmm.
you can also bring out traits in people that are very negative, and some of the things that they say when they're drinking, they don't mean. And so the idea that, oh, well, they
but
were...
But they thought so, it. So if you thought it and it came out your lips, you absolutely had it in your mind at one point.
Well,
right?
But you could be saying things in anger that are really horrible things that you don't truly mean. You might be in a moment where you feel hurtful,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe for some reason you felt attacked, and so you lash out, and
mm-hmm.
because you're under the influence of alcohol, you're not censoring the types of things that you say.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who, under the influence of alcohol, can say terrible things that they don't truly believe or really mean.
Yeah, or drugs, I'm thinking as well.
Certainly drugs.
Yeah. Well, you know, you specialize in the treatment, like I said, of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders,
mm-hmm.
and male body image and eating disorders. Today, we're going to talk about the relationship between exercise and body image.
Mm-hmm.
And is this, well, we'll save it, I guess, for the actual, you know, content of the show, because mm-hmm. I've got lots of questions. I really do.
Good.
And
good.
Anyway.
I think everyone struggles with that, too. And I told Ryan, my boyfriend, what we were talking about, and he was like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to listen.
What, about the body image?
Yeah. Like, he was like, I feel like that's me. Like, I cannot wait to listen. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You have body image issues?
I think everybody does. This is the heaviest I've ever been in my life, and nobody else can see it except me when
mm-hmm.
I'm naked in the mirror, because I've always had like an... I could have a baby and my stomach's flat afterwards. Have another baby, my stomach's flat afterwards. But all the stress I've been under for the last couple of years has, mm-hmm. I've had a lot of cortisol. So I have a little bit of belly fat that I'm not used to it. I don't like it. My clothes don't fit because I normally buy clothes that are very fitted, you know, and tailored.
Yes.
And so like none of my favorite dresses fit and I'm just miserable. But when I look in the mirror, I still feel sexy. In fact, I bought a fatty dress at Nordstrom. That's what I call it. I had to go
fatty
buy a fatty dress. But
see,
it was still...
For a person of size,
right. Well, and
not
it was,
a fatty dress.
Well, and it was still a size small, okay,
okay.
But I needed extra. I just didn't want, I was in Nordstrom and I caught it from across the room. I'm like, that's a sexy dress. And anyway, and I bought it and I wore it. And because I'm
and
the
did
aunt,
you feel sexy?
I did. And yes, I was sexy.
Yeah, you were.
All right, terrific.
You didn't just feel it. You were.
I was. I rocked that dress. But I had to wear something to cover up my legs, too. This will make you laugh, you know, because I don't spray insecticides or herbicides in my house, my property. I use everything natural. And they've worked for a while, but you have to, I hadn't gone and gotten more of them, like these little natural, I forget what who makes them. We actually.
The little bottle cap.
Yeah, the little
things.
Bottle cap with all the, you know, natural stuff in it. And anyway, so my glass of wine attracted ants because I fall asleep almost every night with a little bit of glass in my wine that I don't drink, and I
mm-hmm.
pick it up in the morning and either, you know, I usually, you know, pour it back in the bottle. If it's just a little, I'll pour it down the sink. I hate wasting it. So,
sure.
But anyway, So I had a bunch of ants that bit my legs and my rear end.
Oh, no.
And they were all over me. The other
oh, my gosh.
They really were. Well, there was only probably, I'm going to say there was maybe 5 or 10 in the bed. And I didn't lose my mind. But I would rather be bitten by an ant than I would to be bitten by cancer or something else that all those insecticides cause. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Now, how did you get rid of those ants?
Well, I got some Burt's Bees natural bug repellent for right now that I had gotten for my daughter on her camping trips, and I just sprayed it around the border of my house, and I'm going to go get some of those little bait things that are made. They're in the top of a bottle cap, and they're all natural, and they work really, really well.
Oh, great.
But, you know, I kind of live out in the country, and I need to get Thomas to come by and do some fire ant or just ant something. I don't know. I think that what do they call it? Dalmatius earth or something?
What is it? I'm not going to try.
Come on, Danny.
I'm going to butcher it.
You know what we're talking about?
No, I do not.
Something.
Diamaceous earth or something like that. Diamaceous earth.
Yeah.
Something like that. And they use it in pools and filters. And, you know, it's a natural, like, powder, white powder that.
And it will drive the ants away.
Yeah. And then there's also something that keeps snakes away, too. But I need to do that. I have Thomas do my whole property a couple times a year because I'm scared to death of snakes. Mm-hmm. And we had a snake report a couple of weeks ago, and I still haven't seen them. But I went out to my garage last night, and I'm like, okay, Mr. Snake. Like, talking to him like he's still in the same
snake.
Still in the same place. But I'm scared to death of him. I really am. But everyone, you know what? We've got a great show coming up. Stay tuned. Dr. Mike McFarland's going to be talking about the relationship between exercise and body image. You're listening to One Life Radio. Just when you thought Sun Warrior couldn't get any better. New sizes, lower prices. Sun Warrior is rolling out month and half month tubs so you can better plan your nutrition around your super active lifestyle. They've also made it easier to try different flavors and proteins with a smaller dent in your wallet. New sizes, new tubs, lower prices. Sun Warrior raw plant-based protein, always looking for ways to make your life easier, more affordable, and healthier. You can find Sun Warrior at Vitamin Shop or even add a scoop to your smoothie at Smoothie King. Or go to sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
I can remember dancing at like 5 years old with my older sister. She'd play this song, and she had this walk that she would do to this dance that she would do to this song.
The classic.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Dr. Mike McFarland. Ryan Lowry is going to be coming up here at the final quarter of the show. Did you watch the Cowboys yesterday?
I did not.
You know, I only, Danny, I caught the, I was in meetings last night till 10 o'clock. I caught like just a little bit of the end of the game. And so congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills. They won as well.
Yay.
I did watch the Ohio State and the OU game, which was fantastic.
I know, I watched that one too.
Yeah. No, we, I actually, my daughter Vincenza was in town. And
I thought you were going up there for that.
I was going to go up there for that. I was. And it just, my daughter wanted to come here, and so so I was like, okay, then we'll do it here. So Kip and I were going to go to Ohio, to go actually to Ohio and go to the game at, you know, at,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and then I was daydreaming and thinking, well, I could do that on Saturday and then jump, fly to Buffalo and then go watch the Buffalo game and then mm-hmm. you know,
but instead you stayed home.
Instead I stayed home. I'm very adventurous, but sometimes I just can't execute. I have so many animals, it's difficult to get out of town.
Sure.
And so, and you have to rely.
There's nothing wrong with just having a relaxing weekend.
No, there, and you know what?
Those are
and
the
I
best.
Cooked. And hey, you know what, Danny? I forgot to give you. I made some Bernie bars here. I made pumpkin ones with MCT oil, and I put Sun Warrior protein powder in them to make give them extra protein.
It's Bernie bar season.
They're Bernie bar season, and they've got fresh walnuts. Try one, you guys. They're really good at the break. They're still moist. They're delicious. I baked them yesterday morning. For my children.
All right. Can't
so,
wait to try one.
You what? Yeah, they're
can't
really
wait to
good.
Try one, yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Food is a big issue here. You know, that we're going to be
it
talking
is.
About this with Ryan Lowry, too. The first clinical trial finds diet works for depression. It's all connected. It really is the relationship between exercise and body image. Dr. Mike McFarland is a licensed psychologist in the state of Texas with a private practice here in Dallas. Dr. Mike provides individual therapy to adolescents through adulthood, and he specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, which is OCD, which I think I have a little touch of, and it's getting better though, and male body image and eating disorders. You can find all of our guest experts at onelifradio.com. You can also find Dr. McFarland at mcfarlandpsychology.com. As I said, we're talking about the relationship between exercise and body image. So, you know, it's no secret that many women in America are unhappy with their bodies. And what does the research tell us about this?
Well, you're right. Unfortunately, in our society today, it is what they call normative discontent, meaning that more than half the population of women have discontent with their bodies. They're unhappy with their bodies. And in fact, if you look at a recent study that came out, only 11% of women over the age of 45 here in the United States are content with their bodies. Only 11%. So 89% of women 45 and over are discontent with their bodies. People tend to think that it's primarily a women's issue, but really in our society, it's just steadily expanding. And now research is putting it anywhere from 20 to 40% of men who are also dissatisfied with their bodies.
I know two men that have body dysmorphia. One of them, or had it, Brian Cuban, Mark Cuban's brother, who's been on the show
yes,
a couple
I've
of times.
Yes, I've read his book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, he was very candid with us on the air about how it developed, what it was like. He's a great guy, and he was, you know, brave enough to share his story and help a lot of other people.
Right, and that's an example of a body image disturbance that is taken to an extreme, and it develops into an actual, in that case, body dysmorphic disorder. The specific form is muscle dysmorphia, and that is a combination of sort of an eating disorder as well as an exercise disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But at the base of it is the sense that generally men who get this, although there are a small percentage of women that can also get a muscle dysmorphia, they have the perception that they're not lean enough. In other words, their body fat is not low enough, and that they're inadequately muscular.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes the signs are that they spend inordinate amounts of time in the gym working out. They tend to take lots of supplements. They often utilize anabolic steroids. Oftentimes, they will become more socially reclusive because they're so self-conscious about their bodies that they don't want to be around other people because they feel like they're being judged.
Mm-hmm.
They often dress to hide their bodies because they have a shame, again, that they're not lean enough and muscular enough. And so they'll wear layers of clothing to cover themselves up and also to make themselves look bigger because they think that they don't look big enough. But it's a really tragic disorder and very disabling for the people that suffer from it. They oftentimes end up isolated and alone with few friends, and oftentimes limiting interactions with their family. Oftentimes they're compromised in their jobs. I've worked with several men who've ended up losing their jobs because of the eating disorder or the muscle dysmorphia getting in the way of their ability to go to work, for example, or feeling like, oh, I have to go work out in the middle of the day, and so suddenly they're gone and their boss is looking for them. But it's a really tragic form of the disorder.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard that in depth of a description of this disorder.
Right.
And well, let me ask you this. Excuse me. Sorry,
let me
I coughed
just say,
right. I was trying to avoid coughing and I coughed right into the mic. Hold on. Okay. All right. So I know a person that has this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so my mind was wondering this, and not to blame it on any mothers out there, because mothers get the blame for everything. You know that as a psychologist. It's not uncommon. But the one person in particular that I know that has it, their mother also had like a weight obsession and a body image obsession. And so can it be passed from generation to generation?
Actually, that's an excellent question. And there are two components to that. There is the biological or genetic component, which is being looked at, as well as the social component, which is, you know, what is the family environment and how might that nurture, you know, a passing down or transmission of these ways of thinking and then disordered behaviors from generation to generation. The genetic research is showing that there seems to be, at least for anorexia nervosa, a genetic component where individuals seem to be wired for that kind of restrictive eating behavior. Also related to that, many people who develop and sustain eating disorders also tend to have obsessive compulsive traits.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, to sustain starving yourself to death, you pretty much have to be obsessive about it or you're going to fail. Because your body begins to send signals like eat, you must eat, you must eat. And then pretty soon, your brain can't think of anything but eating after you've restricted long enough. And only those people who have such an obsessive ability to maintain their focus on not eating can override those bodily signals that are saying eat.
Wow.
So there appears to be a genetic component, and they're going to, you know much more about that in the future as they continue that research. Then there's the familial component, which absolutely families can have a culture of self-consciousness about their bodies. Family environments where parents are constantly talking about their own bodies and also commenting on their children's bodies can heighten that awareness and cause it to become a priority in the child's mind. And so when you have a confluence of factors that come together, it's not unusual to see entire families that have different forms of disordered body image, eating, and exercise behaviors. It may not all be anorexia, but you could have a range. You might have an anorexic person. You might have someone in the family who's got bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
You might have someone who's got binge eating disorder because they kind of rejected it all and then sort of indulged the eating and it went the other extreme. So it's not unusual to find that kind of cluster of eating and exercise disturbances within a family.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. You want to say something, Lexi?
No, I'm just fascinated. I didn't know that it could be so deeply rooted in somebody.
Yeah.
Yes, and when it comes to treatment, it's very, very difficult to treat, let's say, an adolescent in the family with an eating disorder without treating the family. Because the system holds the whole thing together. And there's something that's going on between family members. It's oftentimes parents, but it could also be siblings. It could be the chaotic environment or a highly restricted environment. But if you're not treating the entire family, you're going to have a very difficult time actually resolving that eating disorder.
Wow. You know, you don't think about it in those terms. When you think about someone who's suffering, they're not really ever suffering independently. It comes from somewhere. At the very core of it, there's a reason for everything.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in environments where a child feels like things are out of control at home, the way that they control things or the thing that they feel like they can latch onto and truly control is their eating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or their exercise.
Well, I know when I had an anxiety disorder, that's how I had you know, anorexia nervosa. It never got really, really bad, you know, but it was a way to control my life when things were out of control.
Absolutely.
And it was the only thing I could control. Mm-hmm. And I got really, really thin at one point. I mean, I was probably at about 90 pounds. I know that doesn't sound like much, but I was solid muscle. You know, I was solid muscle, and size zero clothes were baggy on me. You know, so you do. It's all deeply rooted. It definitely is. And I think mine has a connection, and we'll talk about it, to the stress of growing up with a brother that's schizophrenic. And just all the distress in the home.
Sure.
You know, and trying to control things that I had no control over.
Right.
None of us do, really. Right. But all great conversation, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I want to give out. I want to give in. This is our crime. This is our sin. But I still believe. I still believe.
Hi, y'all. It's Bernadette. You know I'm Italian, and my dad always said there are two kinds of oils in this world, 100% organic extra virgin olive oil and those that wish they were. Celebrate the health benefits of olive oil and the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web by the Stanley Brothers. Infused with 100% extra virgin olive oil. For thousands of years, societies used hemp to promote health and wellness. CW's proprietary hemp genetics are rich in naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. Feed your endocannabinoid system the best natural Colorado wellness. Charlotte's Web. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Dr. Mike McFarland in studio. If you're just now joining us, Dr. Mike McFarland is a licensed psychologist in the state of Texas with a private practice here in Dallas, and he specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, and male body image and eating disorders. He provides individual therapy to adolescents through adulthood. Over the break, continuing what we were talking about, the relationship between exercise and body image. And I was telling Lexi and Dr. Mike how crazy I was when I had the crazy things I would do. I was still working. In fact, I worked three jobs. I always worked two or three jobs.
Unbelievable.
But I would do crazy stuff, you guys, like I would get two baggies in the morning in my little apartment. I remember I had a pink and white kitchen. It was so cute. In this old home in upstate New York. And it was a cute little apartment. Anyway, so I would lay the little plastic bags out on the table, two of them. And one, I would put 10, I would count out 10 saltine crackers and then two Hershey Kisses because I always had to have my chocolate, even when I was trying to starve myself to death.
So did that translate to about 200 calories or not even?
I don't even know. But then I worked, you know. So I was telling them when it really dawned on me. So this guy who used to think I was hot, who used to flirt with me all the time, and just used to always make me feel so good because he was just crazy about me. And so when I went to my second job that night, I was a cocktail waitress and a little bit of bartending at that particular time. And I can work like nobody's business. Like I covered every table and the bar, everything. I mean, just one person. Mm-hmm. It was a couple thousand. It's probably a 3,000 square foot area. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't small, but anyway, the point is I got plenty of exercise on top of it. And I used to do marathons and, you know, run 7 miles a day at that point on that little bit of food. And so, but anyway, this guy said to me, he's like, you don't look good anymore. He's like, you've lost your rear end. I had on a pair of black leather pants and I always had a really nice rear end and I lost it because I was so skinny. I was just a bunch of bones. And he's like, you don't even look good anymore. You're not sexy anymore. And I was like, what? You know, it like hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, wait a minute. I better do what? Like,
and how did that affect your body image and, you know, your behaviors around eating?
You know, I slowly decided that I needed to get help and that it wasn't good to, you know, do what I was doing, right, trying to measure out food like that. It was insane, you know, but it does affect you too. I wasn't getting the nutrition. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about too with Ryan Lowry coming up here in a couple minutes about the first clinical trial that finds diet works for depression, mm-hmm. or just the opposite. If you're not eating well, it can cause depression. Mm-hmm. And you are going to cite a study that was recently in the news as well.
Right, right. I just read it and it's just one study, but there's some indication that depression could be sustained by diet that affects inflammation within the body. And it's very interesting. I think it's very promising. And a lot more work is going to be required to figure out whether or not that's actually the case. But, you know, it makes some sense on the face of it.
Yeah. Well, and at the very root of my anxiety disorder was I was scared. I was unstable because when my brother had his nervous breakdown, the wheels came off the bus on the family. And I never knew what to expect. My brother was going to have a violent reaction or if they were going to take him away again. Mm-hmm. And it just caused so much, you know, distress to our family.
Right. And that kind of chaos in the family system can absolutely be a trigger for eating and exercise disorders.
Oh, absolutely. So let me ask you this. So what do we know about how exercise affects our body image?
Well, you know, we're learning more about this all the time. And it's not surprising once you kind of look at what some of the studies are showing. But for example, there's a recent study that just came out that was done by the researchers at the University of British Columbia in Okanagan, Canada, and they did a study looking at 60 women who had body image issues. And these were all college-age women. And they split the group in two, and they had half the women exercise for 30 minutes, and they had the other half of the women just read something calmly for 30 minutes. And they assessed their sense of themselves and their body image immediately thereafter. And what they found was that there was, across the board, a significant improvement in their body image just immediately after the exercise. And they checked again at, you know, periods after the exercise, and they discovered that for at least 20 minutes, the individuals who exercised felt better about their bodies,
mm-hmm.
whereas the people who read didn't feel any different than 30 minutes before. They still didn't feel good about their bodies.
Well, so scientifically, is that because of the release of dopamine and serotonin and all these things that that exercise triggers and releases?
Well, we would be speculating to say what the reason is for that, and I think that absolutely that is part of it. I also believe, though, I mean, if you think about this, that chances are just the fact that someone is taking a step to do something that they know is positive for their physical health,
right,
as well as their body appearance, is going to have an impact on how you view yourself.
Well, I think it comes down to control, what we were talking mm-hmm. about. I, when you were telling the story, I was thinking, well, after I finish exercising, which I didn't get to do this morning, so I'm going to do tonight. I already have a plan.
Good
I'm like,
you.
Okay, couldn't get it done this morning because mm-hmm. just all my duties. And so I'll do it tonight, and I will. And so, but I was thinking, you know, when I do execute my plan to exercise and I finish, I feel like I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my destiny.
Yes.
I'm taking control of my health. And therefore, when I do go in and go get dressed and see my body image, I feel better about it.
Sure, because it's not going to be that your body suddenly changed in that 30
right.
minutes. But there's what we see in the mirror, and there's, you know, sort of what we project on top of it. And what we project on top of it is our hopes, our aspirations, how we feel about, you know, ourselves and what we're doing for ourselves. So if we look in the mirror and we think, okay, I'm a little bit overweight, but you know what? I'm working on it. Then suddenly what you see is potential. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the mirror and you notice that you're a little bit overweight and you just ate a couple of chocolate bars, what you see is disappointment. You might see failure. You might be less hopeful about your body in the future. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed in the mirror, because our body doesn't change that quickly.
Right.
But it's all what we project on top of it. And so if we're doing something positive for our bodies, then when we look in the mirror, we're going to project on top of what's actually there, the positivity, the hopefulness, the potential of our bodies in the mm-hmm. future.
Well, what do you think, as a professional, as a PhD, it specializes in this subject, mm-hmm. what do you think about people weighing themselves? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, and I would say, you know, like many things, it depends. It's important to know what your weight is, and I've worked with individuals who don't weigh, who maybe have binge eating problems, and they will tend to minimize weight gain. And so if they're not getting on the scale, you know, for example, worked with someone who recently said, oh, I haven't gained weight. Yeah, I'm maintaining steady weight. And I asked when was the last time he'd weighed, and he said about 3 months. And visually there was weight gain. So mm-hmm. I said, well, why don't we go ahead and weigh you here and just check? And there was a 20-pound increase.
Wow.
And yet he was unaware of it.
How did he react?
Stunned.
Wow.
And disappointed.
But isn't it a good thing to not be, okay, so, you know.
But then there's the converse.
But how could you not know by, you would think your clothes would get tighter.
In denial,
well,
actually, maybe?
After 20
That's
pounds.
It, denial.
He's in denial.
Know? Denial is a powerful defense.
Wow.
And things that we don't want to see, you know, or don't want to perceive, our brains have the ability to sort of take that out of our awareness.
Right.
Now, not everyone does it. But there are people who do it very effectively.
Well, I still think one of the reasons I've never had a weight problem is because I look at myself naked in the mirror every day, and not like go into some long study of my body, but I evaluate my body every single day, my posture, my health, you know, my muscles, just, you know, look at the back, the mm-hmm. front, you know, just mm-hmm. sideways and seeing how things are looking.
Yeah.
And Lexi does the same thing.
I do the same thing.
She does the same thing. She's the only person I've ever known that like was very candid, and we've talked about it before. But is that a good thing? I think it is.
Again, it depends. So in your case, if you're not spending too much time and you're assessing yourself once on a daily basis, I think that's great.
I say 15 to 30 seconds at the
okay.
most.
Okay. Now, if you'd said 15 to 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
But
no.
There are those who are doing
that. I'm going to say 15 seconds.
Okay. That's great. I think that's great. But there are people that I work with, you know, who can spend 20 minutes two or three times a day, and then they're checking every time they use the restroom. They nitpick, yeah,
nitpick.
And they might be lifting up their shirt every single time to see if they put on any weight since the last time they checked. And that is excessive checking. So again, we can't make one blanket statement about weighing or checking. It really depends on the purpose, how you're going about it, the frequency, mm-hmm. the duration.
Yeah. Well, and I joke with myself. You guys will laugh. I'll say, hey, Chubby, did you like the pizza last night? You know?
What's tougher in your mind, you know, a young mind or an aging mind? Because age is very brutal.
Yes.
And you look at
be.
Yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror and you see, my gosh, my eyes are sagging. I got mm-hmm. these bags. I got man boobs now. I got, you mm-hmm. know, seriously. And that's not so much of being unhealthy, that's just the process of aging.
It is. It is. And we are living in a society that has a hard time accepting the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
And our role models, unfortunately, tend to be Hollywood.
Yeah.
And rarely do you find an actor or performer in Hollywood that accepts their aging.
Mm-hmm.
So they are having multiple plastic surgeries.
Well, because the people don't accept it. You know, we expect these people to be beautiful, endless beauty, where, you know, they never change. And we're harsh. People are harsh and mean.
Yes, they
are.
They
really are. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look at that, you know, making fun of somebody because they're, like you said, Danny, getting a little older.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, you're going to get old too. Don't be such an A, you know what?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tough world out there. And our society is brutal to anyone that's not young.
Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely.
Ageism is a real thing.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And that's why you lie about your age. No, I'm just kidding. All right, everyone. We've got a great show continuing on here with Ryan Lowry. You're listening to One Life Radio. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Dr. Mike McFarlane in studio, and I have almost a doctor, Ryan Lowry, PhD student at Concordia University, on the line. He's published over 80 manuscripts, abstracts, and book chapters on human performance and sports nutrition. He also serves as the president of the Applied Science and Performance Institute in Tampa, Florida. Ryan Lowry, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Great, great. And I appreciate you jumping in for Dr. Dieter while he's on his honeymoon.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he got married and didn't tell anyone. I will have to get the story when he comes back. He probably went to Vegas or something. I don't know. But I absolutely love what we're talking about today. We've covered this before, but I think it's so important that we cover it again. We're talking about the world's first clinical trial that finds diet works for depression. There's a lot of people that need this. They need this information because there's so much depression in the world today. There really is, and it is directly related to the food. We all know that. But let's talk about this. What were the results of this clinical trial?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, we've talked about a lot before, Bernadette, of the importance of feeding your body right and the importance of what you feed your body. There's a connection between your gut and your brain.
Yep.
And what we fuel ourselves with ultimately help things like depression, anxiety, even going more so into like PTSD, we're seeing some benefits as well. But what they found is feeding like a Mediterranean-style diet, and we've talked about incorporating in healthy fats and not having a ton of processed food and ample amounts of protein, they actually found that it decreased symptoms of depression, anxiety, and actually helped improve the quality of lives of these people.
Well, you'd be proud of me. I made my Bernie bars this morning, and I threw a little MCT oil in them, and I also put a little MCT oil in my protein shake this morning, because those kind of ingredients really do feed the brain, don't they? And, oh, and by the way, congratulations again for everyone out there listening. Ryan Lowry has just released a new book that he wrote with Dr. Jacob Wilson called The Ketogenic Bible, and I still, you know, my copy's still MIA, so I got to get a hold of Amazon today, but
oh no. Well, thank you.
But MCT oil is a big ingredient, isn't it, for feeding the brain?
It really is. And I think we've hit this point now where fats back and healthy fats that really come in like MCTs, incorporating in things, and I'm really trying. I actually had some today. I made some homemade guacamole. Really trying incorporating in some more avocados because they're a great source of fat. For me, it's a texture thing, so I'm working on it. I'm trying to get them back in, but things like that are very important to incorporate into your diet.
Yeah, well, you know, they have the avocado oil magazine, avocado oil mayonnaise that I think Primal, Mark Sisson, I think, is the one that founded the brand. But that's a really good way to get healthy fat, too, because he uses really good oils. I believe he uses avocado oil. And then I mix it with tuna and then, you know, of course, organic celery, and I'll throw in a little MCT oil and stuff like that, because I too have a little bit of trouble with the texture thing with avocados. So, but you mix it up with some tuna and throw it on some celery and it's really delicious, and you get all the protein and make sure that, of course, it's wild caught tuna, because that's important too, because there's so many toxins in tuna that's not tested, right? Sure. Ryan?
It's huge. Absolutely huge. And I think we saw that a little bit when we were at the PaleoFX conference.
Right.
Seeing a lot of these companies like specifically calling that out is very good to see. I'm really happy to see that more companies are going in that direction.
Yeah, I think one brand is called Safe Catch, and every single can is tested, if I'm not mistaken. But let's get back to this, because I got off the track here. So how is this the first clinical study?
You know, one of the things is there's, we think about it, and on the outside it might appear to some people like, well, duh, of course, like improving your diet can help with that, but a lot of these things aren't studied. And that's why I was at a conference this weekend, and we were talking about people, oftentimes scientists disregard anecdotal research. And for me, I look at anecdotal research and I said, I love it. And I love when people report back and go, well, I tried this and it worked for me, because that doesn't mean that it's not wrong or that's not right. It just means that we haven't tested it in a large clinical trial. And we might be 4, 5, 6 years down the road from now from doing that. But getting that feedback, if you're seeing benefits from incorporating things that you're trying, testing out, or maybe even what we call now biohacking your body on its own, do it. That's phenomenal. And I think this is a point in case where we've known this for years and it's finally being put to the test, and I'm glad to see it.
Well, you know, in the article or this clinical study that we're covering, they called this diet the Mahdi Med diet that they put people on. But this study had nothing to do with weight loss, did it? It was all just a clinical study studying the effects of how this diet works for depression, right?
Exactly. And you know, a lot of times when you improve your nutrition, you start incorporating exercise, weight loss is a byproduct.
Right.
Absolutely. And that can help bolster the effects psychologically even further. But the main outcome they were looking at here was the psychological effects, looking at things like depression and anxiety. And they saw drastic improvements by just altering your diet, which is incredible.
Well, and they're finding out so much, too, about all the fasting information, the trials, the studies that are coming out now of, you know, intermittent fasting for several days, how it jumpstarts the body back on the health track. I mean, we're going to be covering it in the future weeks, probably a little bit with you and with Sean Wells. So does this study, it shows just how powerful your diet can be on your mental health, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And we're so attuned to thinking, oh, you know what? It doesn't matter as much what I put in my mouth or what I put in my body in regards to how I feel psychologically. Maybe it might affect my weight, but you know, I just don't feel good. I don't feel sluggish. But ultimately, it all ties back into that as well. It ties into your nutrition. It ties into your exercise. It ties into your psychological stress. And so, yeah, people that are depressed, you might go to the doctor, and the first thing they might do is say, hey, here's a prescription. But ultimately, I hope that the doctor would say, well, first, let's look at what your lifestyle is like. Are you exercising? What's your social life like? What are you putting into your body? Are you eating fast food a lot? And starting there and starting with the root cause of the issue, I think, is the most important factor when dealing with situations like this.
Mm-hmm. I was preparing for an upcoming show this week where Partha medical doctor, wrote the book Ask Dr. Nandi. In it, it talks about food changes and how your DNA expresses itself. I mean, you can change your DNA with what you eat, and that in itself should speak volumes to everyone listening.
You absolutely can, and it's something that's incredible, really breakthrough stuff that's still being studied today in science. Is that we look at our bodies, we look at our how we perform, not only physically but mentally, emotionally, and the fact that that can be altered through nutrition. And I really look at when people talk about pharmaceutical agents or drugs, like nutrition's probably the strongest drug that's mm-hmm. available to anyone at any time for anything. And so I think that's always a central place to really start.
Well, and I read a little bit about this. Dr. Nasha Winters just popped into my head in the book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. She writes about this, about the DNA, how food changes how your DNA expresses itself as well in her book. So, you know, it's just a matter of time before, I guess, all the information gets out there. But it's all good stuff. It's really good stuff. And there is a connection to your mental well-being and what you put in your mouth. So,
without a doubt there is. And the more and more we can limit the foods that drive things like inflammation, like these processed mm-hmm. carbohydrates and foods that are high in both sugar and fat, like what you see at fast food restaurants, the more we can limit those and cut back on those, the better off we'll be long term.
Well, you know, it's always great to have you on the show. Is there any other things you want to share with our listeners? We've got about a minute.
Guys, I think the most important thing is paying attention to nutrition. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter what your daily routine is. There's always, always, always an option. And even if you are out on the road, there's better alternatives than the double cheeseburger that's loaded up with a large fry. Trust me, the guilt and the regret that you'll feel after it isn't worth what a minor change and a slightly different decision, no matter where you're at, can make.
Amen, brother. All right. Always love having you on the show. Thank you so much. That's Ryan Lowry. You can find him on Twitter at RyanLowry14. And you know what? Listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play. TuneIn, Apple Podcast, or you can go to our website at OneLifeRadio.com to subscribe to our weekly newsletter. A big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, the ISSN, and Sun Warrior, all fine companies helping to bring this information to you. You know what? You guys, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.